Welcome back to the iTeach Podcast, a podcast where we delve into educational topics like personalized learning, instructional coaching, the maker movement, and where we get a chance to meet the incredible teachers, administrators, coaches, and students that are out there doing the work every day. I hope everyone is staying healthy, staying safe, and practicing social distancing during this pandemic. Today, we have a special episode. I'm going to be joined by KSU iTeach coaches and maker ed gurus, Lee Martin and Luke Ziegler. They are the brains and brawn behind the KSU iTeach Maker Bus. And today we are going to be discussing the maker movement and remote learning, different strategies and resources that you can use tomorrow with your students and families. So I'm very excited to welcome our special guests for today's episode, Lee Martin and Luke Ziegler. Welcome to the show, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thanks, Ronald.
Yeah, great. Thanks for having us.
I'm glad you guys are on. I really like Maker Ed. It's something new for me. So I just, every chance that I can get to like learn about it, I'm just like excited. Even just going on the Maker Bus, like just doing different projects, I'm always just like, oh, this is cool. So I think this is going to be a great episode for me. I feel like I'm going to learn something new.
Awesome.
How's the quarantine going for you guys?
Good. I'm here with three dogs surrounding me, so we're as happy as we can be.
Yeah, it's been pretty good. Keep me busy. I would say the kids and work are keeping me both busy. I have two kids under three, so juggling both has been quite a challenge.
Yes, but we have the summer ahead of us. So
that's right.
hopefully that'll lighten things up. So at the beginning of each episode, I like to start off with an icebreaker with my guests. And that's just, you know, just to lighten up the mood and just get to know you as guests on the podcast. So my first question is, if you could live in any state, which state would you pick?
I'll go first. Alaska. We visited Alaska a few months ago and just loved it. I would love to spend some time living there and exploring some more.
Interesting.
You know, I'd probably have to say Colorado. I like the mountains. I like hiking. I like being outdoors. And both times that I've visited Colorado, there just seems to be a lot of that to do there. So I would definitely say Colorado.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So yeah. You guys like, are both of those states are like the cold? So you guys like the cold weather?
Cold and outside.
Oh. I might have to second guess that because I'm not a big fan of the cold, but the outside, yes.
Okay, so the next question is, if you could instantly become an expert at something, what would it be? I know, like for me, it would be like roller skating. If I could become an expert at roller skating, then that would be amazing.
I would like to be an instant expert at playing the guitar.
Oh,
okay. Nice.
I think Luke plays.
He does, and he hasn't taught me yet.
Well, I've been watching The Last Dance and about Michael Jordan and the last season with the Bulls, which has totally sparked my love for basketball again. So I would love to be on the level of a Michael Jordan basketball player, which will never happen, but that would be awesome.
See, I could play the guitar, Luke. We just have to work on that.
That's right. It's a realistic goal.
Right.
Okay. And the last question is, what food will you never eat?
Oh, guinea pig. Annabelle, you told me last night that she ate guinea pig once, and I would never, ever eat that.
I don't know. Definitely since the virus has started, whatever the armadillo creature, I don't remember, something in China that looks kind of like an armadillo that started all this, I will definitely never eat one of those.
I don't think I can ever see myself like eating a snake or like an alligator.
No, alligator's fine. It tastes like chicken.
Well, my secret is that if it tastes good with honey mustard, then I can. Oh.
That's awesome.
So that was our icebreaker round. We got to learn some things about you guys. So now we're going to move into talking about Maker Ed and the Maker Movement. So for those that are listening that may not know what the maker movement is, how would you define maker education?
I'll take this one. it's a type of learning that empowers learners. It creates knowledge and artifacts. It's a student-centered approach to learning and teaching that can be anything from free exploration and open creation to a more structured response to curriculum standards. Many schools embrace maker ed by building a makerspace where students can find tools, resources, space, and even inspiration to build and grow.
Right, right. And I like that you said student-centered approach, because I think like the movement is best defined as goal, which is like to empower people to make.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, makers, you know, they create, they tinker with old technology, and they invent new things. And like in a nutshell, it's like, you know, it's like do it yourself at its best. So I just like that it's a combination of hands-on learning and like project-based learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how can the maker movement support education during this pandemic?
Yeah. So as Lee was saying, one of the things that the maker movement has kind of provided education is just a space where students can be curious and they can tinker and design and have a chance to iterate those designs. And so during this time when students are at home with their parents who are juggling working from home and homeschooling, we just believe that this is a time that it's great to encourage students to make and create. And that's going to be one of the best ways to keep them engaged during this whole virtual learning homeschooling process. So kind of creating those opportunities where they can create and make. And one of the beautiful things about that is when they're creating and making projects or whatever at home, is it's also an opportunity where their family members can be involved in that process as well. You know, it's a kind of difficult for a family member to get involved with a worksheet other than just looking over their shoulder and checking their work. But a family member can get involved in creating or making something. And one of the main objectives of the Maker Bus is to provide opportunities for students to be involved in making and creating no matter where they are. Mm. And since all of our events have been postponed, we're still trying to continue that mission to provide ways to make maker and creating accessible to all students, no matter where they are.
Right.
Absolutely. I think it's been pretty daunting for teachers and parents to take their classroom and transition it to home with little or no time to prepare for that transition. It's amazing what they've accomplished in this time period, but it's also kind of shown a light on some ways we can rethink learning and teaching and help students be the lead in their learning. Teachers have put up choice boards. They've implemented Genius Hour and project-based learning to empower student-led learning. And we believe that Maker Ed is perfect for that, since it's a naturally student-centered, focuses on process over results. And students and parents aren't stressed over getting an assignment right because they're just focused on the learning.
Right, right. And you both made some great points. So you guys are talking about making it accessible for students wherever they are. So that could come into play as far as like maybe putting something together like a series of video resources or project guides for students to have like at home or their parents have at home. And Lee, you also made a good point too about how the Maker Movement can support parents and students with learning. And I think with that, it lets, you know, students know that they can learn to take failure in stride.
Yeah.
So I think with them creating, you know, they learn how to take failure and, you know, they turn that into a learning experience and don't become discouraged or frustrated when something, you know, doesn't go as planned. So I think just having that mindset will produce a positive outcome. Because like you said, you know, they are focused on the process and not the result.
Yeah, I like that you use the word mindset. We always say the maker mindset, and, you know, it's failing forward, not to feel like when you fail, that's the end of the project. That's really just the beginning and a step along the way.
Right. Yeah. So what are some ways that Maker Ed can support virtual learning?
Well, when the schools first closed, we started by creating a Maker at Home Padlet. So it has lots of projects that parents and students could easily do at home. We had a lot of requests for help during that time. People saying, you know, I can't get my kids online. I don't know what to do with them. So we added a lot of things that were low tech to the Padlet and things that you could just find at home to make things with, like the nature sculptures, or even making slime was one of the things that we felt like they could do easily at home. So when schools remained closed and we realized it was going to become a little bit longer, we shifted or we thought about the need to shift focus from the free exploration projects and dig into the curriculum a little more. And Luke actually came up with some great ideas and ways to connect with parents and kids and teachers with curriculum connected activities.
Yeah, as she was saying, one of the things that we've been trying to do as a team is create some standard-based maker projects that teachers could share with their students right now. And these projects are weekly maker challenges that we post on the iTeach YouTube channel most Mondays. And I've tried to kind of create a persona that's like a hybrid between Bill Nye and Bob Vila. It's kind of in between those two, just to kind of get kids excited about the projects and excited about making something. It'd be kind of boring if I was just, you know, hey, you guys, today we're going to make it kind of, you know.
add some personality.
Exactly. So for right now, in order to meet the moment that we're in, the projects are, like Lee was saying, they use household materials like cardboard and paper and plasticware to create things like catapults or kazoos or cars. And that's just to help students learn about simple machines or the science of sound and just make connections to the curriculum by making something. And that's the whole idea behind these videos. And you know, one of the things that was really difficult or has been difficult is, but also amazing at how much is out there is these projects that you can make so many things using just simple materials like cardboard and paper and plasticware. And, you know, with the danger of even going to a grocery store right now, it's kind of like, okay, what can we make with these limited materials? And it come to find out there's a myriad of things we can make. The projects are definitely targeted towards students, but one of the main goals of these projects and videos is to help teachers start thinking more about how they can implement Maker in their own lessons in the future.
Yeah, so nice. So it's like basically you guys like are creating a resource hub for them to use at home of just like different resources. And so you guys like essentially just created a virtual, you know, maker.
A virtual maker bus.
Yeah, virtual maker bus. I think that's pretty cool. And I like how you guys have, you thought about how it can be relevant to like their situations right now.
Yeah.
Like you just said, for right now in order to meet the moment. Like, I think that's important too.
Yeah, because absolutely.
Resources are limited. So you don't want to go too far fetched with the kind of things that you may ask them to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what has been the response so far from sharing this content?
Teachers have seemed to really enjoy sharing the videos so far, which has been really encouraging. We do most of our promotion on Twitter, and some of the teachers have been sharing photos of what the students have created, which has been really awesome to see. You know, when we first posted the first one, wasn't quite really sure what the response would be, but it was really awesome to see kind of the community that we've been able to build online with these projects. We also use the website Instructables to share the projects. And it's kind of like a how to make anything website. So we add the video and then we have written instructions on the bottom. And a couple of times our projects have been shared on the front page of the website, which has kind of broadened our reach even more. And it's been great exposure for the Maker Bus and iTeach as well.
Yeah. That's awesome. Be sure to check out hashtag iTeachMakes on Twitter to see some of the kids' projects that they've done. It's just been amazing to see how they take Luke's instructions and then they adapt to make the project their own. It's really cool. The videos are wildly popular. We even had a district call us and say, how are you going to make these throughout the summer? So we have to kind of decide if we're going to keep doing this throughout the summer, even though we're doing some other things like Maker Camp this year.
I actually saw the one of the lights.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that video. The production was nice. I like the over the top camera view. It was like very like detailed and like it was like, you know, easy to follow. So I had like that.
Awesome.
And then I did see the personality that you were talking about between the Bill Nye when you were doing the introduction.
Yeah.
So I know that. So I did see that video. And so what grade levels are you guys catering to, like in your projects and your videos?
I would say right now it's kind of probably, the elementary range, maybe early middle school is kind of our target audience right now. And would you agree with that,
Lee? I would, but I do think that the way the projects are presented, they can be kind of open-ended. So even though
we
might start with a simple machine, it can definitely be adapted by a physics student to be something much more.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. That's a good point. Good point. So what are some digital resources that teachers could leverage to help students create and build?
One of our favorite tools to share with teachers is the Autodesk software Tinkercad. And Tinkercad is an easy to use 3D design tool where students can learn how to build pretty much anything in a 3D format online. And it's open source and it's web-based. So it keeps all their projects in the cloud. I've been trying to work through some of the projects myself, and they have tutorials on building things like keychains, houses, gears, animals. And it's really simple for a student to get started. And it just teaches students simple 3D design techniques that they can then build upon to create all kinds of things.
Yeah, we actually have a great Tinkercad story. When the bus first had to shut down, when everyone was worried about the pandemic, we were in the middle of a project at a middle school, and the kids were still at school even though the bus couldn't come to them. So we taught or showed them how to use Tinkercad, and they took their novel engineering project, which means that they took a novel and found a problem and then designed a solution. And they designed their solution on Tinkercad since we couldn't be there with them to bring the materials.
Oh, great. That's great. So Tinkercad, I've actually never heard of that until today. So I'm going to have to do some more research on that website. And you said it's free?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. So that's great. So Tinkercad, I'm going to have to check that out.
It's free for teachers and students. I don't think it's free for everybody, but teachers and students it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what would you guys recommend for a quick way to include Maker Ed in classroom work?
I'd start with my pet project, which is making the serve. It means it's a project that we kind of design where students find a need in their community and make something that helps fill that need. So we've done things like make origami Valentines and deliver them to veterans hospitals. We've created kindness bookmarks and had the kids hide them in library books, and even woven plastic sleeping mats using grocery bags and donated them to homeless shelters in support of people who sleep outside. We've definitely seen that making the serve is a great way to consider social emotional needs of students and teachers. Yeah. So okay. I think making the serve is a great way to start a maker project or a maker centered learning at your school.
Yeah. And kind of shooting off of that, I think another thing that is really easy for teachers to get started with is a cardboard challenge. And it's something that we do a lot on the Maker Bus that we take to schools is just challenging students to create anything that their imagination can make up. With cardboard, and it's a really versatile material that students can use no matter what content area they're in. So there are many things that they can create just using cardboard and recyclable materials, and teachers can kind of adapt that cardboard challenge to whatever they're working on in the curriculum.
Great. And I like the idea of like making it meaningful, you know, to the community, so the project has purpose. And how, you know, Luke, you talk about making it relate to the content area. So I like that you guys talking about it being relevant, which is what I think a lot of teachers will appreciate.
Yeah, we don't feel like people will use it if they don't at first feel like it's meaningful and relevant.
Yeah. So we have reached the end of today's episode, and I learned a lot about Maker Ed. I hope you guys have also learned something new and also learned about some new resources that you could use in the comfort of your home. I would like to thank you, the listeners, for your continued support on the iTunes podcast. I want to thank today's guests, Lee and Luke, for sharing your wisdom on the Maker Movement. Did you guys enjoy
yourself?
Yes,
thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Great, great. So if you want to learn more about the Maker Movement and where to find resources that were shared on today's episode, could you guys tell the listeners where they can find you on Twitter and also where to find resources?
Sure. We're on Twitter at iTeachMakerBus. I'm Lee M. Librarian on Twitter, and Luke is Luke A. Ziegler, on Twitter.
No worries.
And you can always look for hashtag iTeachMakes to see the projects and our new releases.
Okay, great, great. And then you can also, guys, check out the KSU iTeach YouTube channel. And then also in today's episode notes, I'm going to share the Maker Ed at Home Padlet with you guys. So please make sure you rate and review the podcast on your favorite listening platform. Continue to stay safe. And until next time, peace and love.
The iTeach podcast is brought to you by the Instructional Technology Coaches from iTeach at Kennesaw State University with the cooperation of the Instructional Technology Department and the Bagwell College of Education. You can reach out to us for more information, questions, or comments at our website, iteach.kennesaw.edu, or on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at KSU iTeach.